News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. Hope you are having a great Saturday. Keeping an eye on the invest. It's not even really a tropical depression as we speak yet, but keeping an eye on the weather. I don't think it's going to affect us here in Pensacola, knock on wood, but doesn't hurt to keep an eye on it. But while you're doing that, we're going to bring you up to date on everything that's going on in entertainment and pop culture. And there is a lot going on in entertainment and pop culture. Too much for just one show, in fact. And joining me to do so, as he does so very often on this channel, please welcome from the Pop Culture Analyst channel on YouTube, Jeremy Branch.
Did something happen? What's going on? I feel like I'm out of the loop. You say there's a lot of news.
Yeah, there was a little thing called San Diego Comic-Con. Have you ever heard of it?
Oh, yeah, I've heard of it. That was this weekend?
It was last weekend, yeah.
Last weekend?
Yeah.
I really am out of the loop. I know there's some exciting stuff that we're going to touch on. One in particular story blew everything else out of the water, but that doesn't mean there's not a lot of stuff to talk about in some of our favorite franchises. So we're going to be talking Marvel. We're going to be talking DC. We're going to be talking Star Trek. And we're probably going to talk some other stuff as well, Julio, as we are often to do.
Yeah, and I want to mention, because that hasn't been the only thing going on in the world. We just had a big Marvel movie drop, Deadpool and Wolverine, which Jeremy and I have both seen. But we decided, because there's so much in this movie that we don't want to spoil if you haven't had a chance to see it. I know a lot of people have seen this movie already. It set a new record for an R-rated film. It's going to be, the top R-rated film of all time. It's the biggest movie of the year already by far. So a lot of people have seen it already, but we just kind of wanted to err on the side of caution a little bit and give it one more week for everybody to kind of see all the surprises that this movie has in store, because there are a lot of them, and I think you'll enjoy it a little more if you don't have anything spoiled. And if we were just a podcast that you had to click on us to link to actively choose to listen to it, then I would be a little less shy about going into it. I mean, certainly you can go on YouTube and find innumerable videos already about this movie, and there's a lot of conversation about it on the internet and everything, but I still feel like that's kind of self-selecting to expose yourself to that, versus being a radio show, there's a chance that people could just come across it while they're switching channels on the dial, while they're driving around headed out to the beach or whatever. Just want to give a little extra time. I just feel like it's courtesy. What do you think, Jeremy?
Oh, yeah, couldn't agree more. Next week, though, all of this taken into consideration, all bets are off. We're going to give you our, customary spoiler warning before we get into it in each of the segments, in case you are just kind of scrolling through. But despite the fact that there are a lot of Deadpool and Wolverine conversations out there, there's only one that you can hear from both me and Julio Diaz here on Let's Go Pensacola. So I'll make sure to come by and check out our thoughts on that. If you don't get a chance to listen to us live, you can also check us out on Spotify and everywhere where podcasting is available, because we are in podcast form. You can actually get that a day early as well. So if you're not following us on the RSS feed, make sure to add us there and check us out anytime on the go.
Yeah, please do. And, if you do listen, Jeremy and I don't get a lot of input, we like input. We like to hear from people who listen to the show or even if you don't like the show, we'd like to hear it from you more if you like the show. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, much more.
I mean,
I will lash out, Julio.
We I'm not going to claim that neither one of us has a little bit of an ego. Not big. I don't think either one of us have big egos, but we don't like to get, kicked in the dirt either. But even if you don't like the show, if you have a suggestion on improving the show, we're always happy to hear that too. But
absolutely.
We like to be told we're great better than we like to be told we suck. But we'll take either one. But you can always email me. My email is gopensacola@gmail.com, and I'd be happy to hear from anybody that you listen to the show, whether you listen on the air or you listen on the podcast. Let us know what you think. Why not? What's the worst that can happen? I mean,
yeah. You're setting us up. There's no telling how bad it could get, but definitely always love to hear from our listeners.
Just don't write and ask me to play Misty for you, okay? That's all I'm saying here. Yeah, and now I sound 950 years old, because if you got that reference, you are 950 years old.
I didn't get the reference, and we're not too far apart in age. Now you got to explain the joke.
So there was a movie starring Clint Eastwood that came out, and I haven't actually seen the movie, but it was kind of a famous thing for a while there.
Sure.
Came out, I think, in the early 70s, a movie called Play Misty for Me.
I've heard the title.
Yeah. So he plays a DJ, and he has this caller that keeps calling and requesting for him to play Misty for her. There's a song called Misty. I don't know if you know that song. But this caller is a stalker and is like, you know, it's a whole like stalker thing. So while we welcome your feedback, we welcome your adulation.
Misty a real song?
Yeah, it's a real song. It's kind of like one of those like Great American Songbook standards kind of songs.
Okay.
Yeah, it's
Johnny Mathis, 1959.
Yeah. So I mean, even by the 70s, it was a fairly dated reference. But yeah, it's a thing that happened, and it's a thing we'd like to not have happen to us.
So what else is going on, Bart? It's been a week since the last time we spoke.
Well, the other thing I want to make sure that I mention, because I know it's something we've talked about on this show a lot, and we're a few episodes behind, but we're coming up on Sunday on the season 2 finale of House of the Dragon. And
Same situation, right, where we're going to give people a little bit of time to catch up.
Yeah, I know we're a couple of episodes behind, in part because of San Diego. And that's fine, but what we want to do, we figured rather than going through, we haven't talked about episodes 6 and 7 yet, and we figured rather than trying to go through those today when there's so much other stuff to talk about, we'd kind of hold off and do a big, probably episode-long summary of the entire season. So we're going to, much like we're giving you a chance to absorb Deadpool and Wolverine, and we're going to hold that off for next week, we're going to hold off for 2 weeks from today for the big House of the Dragon conversation. So... All you, I hate this abbreviation, but I'm going to say it anyway. All you Hot D fans that have been turning in to hear what we think of the Hot D. And God, that just sounds wrong. It sounds wrong. Amazing. I hate that abbreviation. But the
no
internet has
hotter than the Targaryen D, man.
Yeah, the internet has determined that this show is now called Hot D. So who are we to tell the internet that it's wrong, other than all the other times that we tell the internet that it's wrong? And we're probably about to tell the internet it's wrong a whole lot more in the next 45 minutes or so, I'm pretty sure, because, you know, the internet definitely has reacted to some of the things we're going to be talking about out of San Diego, for sure, because it's been, depending on when the particular news item we're talking about drops, it's been close to a week, if not a full week, since San Diego. The San Diego just wrapped up on Sunday. So some of this stuff is a little more than a week, a little less week. San Diego, for those who don't know, it is the biggest con in the U.S. It is the biggest con, the second biggest con in the world. And it goes on for longer than any other con in the U.S. Like most conventions like PensaCon here in Pensacola are 3 days. There's some that are a little shorter. But 3 days is about the average for a decent sized con. You get some bigger shows like New York Comic Con, like Denver Fan Expo, things like that, that run 4 days. San Diego runs 5 days. And the only other one that I can think of that runs that long is Dragon Con. And Dragon Con's kind of in its own world, because that's more like a big party. This is more of a industry trade show / traditional convention. So this is really like the marathon of conventions. Dragon Con kind of is too, but in a different way. Dragon Con is, can you outlast the 5 day party? This is, can you outlast the 5 day traditional con stuff with a whole lot of news and a whole, what's that?
What is the number one biggest convention?
Well, I believe it's in Japan, if I recall correctly.
Okay, yeah. I had to ask. I figured it would have been San Diego Comic Con.
Yeah. There is a huge one down in Brazil too that I think vies, but they're kind of in that world. We got to take a break. We'll be back with more in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
you're with your baby.
Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We've got Jeremy Branch with us on the line from the Pop Culture Nihilist channel on YouTube, and we are about to dive into the news that came out of San Diego Comic-Con last weekend. And we're just going to start right at the top, man. There almost is no other news out of San Diego Comic-Con than the news that, yes, he's back, the man behind the mask. Robert Downey Jr. coming back to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But there's a twist here. Robert Downey Jr. is coming back to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Tony Stark, Iron Man, does not appear to be coming back to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And he's going to be playing a new character. None other than the Marvel villain amongst all Marvel villains, Robert Downey Jr. playing Doctor Doom.
What? There is a time that this would be the most bizarre headline that I'd ever heard, but considering all other things that have been going on in MCU for years, between the Skrulls and between the, what do you call them? The, like, not replicants, variants. It's not completely shocking, but I am curious to how they are going to do it. But first of all, are you excited about the news?
I'm always excited to see Robert Downey Jr. show up in anything, first of all.
Okay.
I mean, dude, coming off an Academy Award win, well-deserved Academy Award win. And, you know, he is a great actor, and he has been, like, to not get too deep into the Deadpool and Wolverine of it all, because we are going to, as I said, we're going to hold off and talk about that movie next week. But just,
I know
to,
where you're going with it.
Just to reference something from that movie, like in the real world, in our world, Robert Downey Jr. is the anchor being of the MCU.
Absolutely.
And so to have him back in the franchise means a lot, even if he's not playing the same character. Now, how they're going to do this, that's a whole nother ball of wax. And there's already a ton of speculation on it. There's already also a ton of, oh, Marvel's out of ideas. Oh, you know, this is just, you know, blah, 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 you know. Yeah, I, as far as I'm concerned, the overall judgment of whether this is a good idea or a bad idea really can't come until the movie comes out.
Can't all things be true, though? Because I agree with everything you said about Robert Downey Jr. To preface it, he was the beating heart of the MCU. He was the character that people, the casuals, came back to see again and again. I think there is a argument to be made that things changed, and I'm not going to say for the negative, but things changed after in game, so I can't underestimate how much value he has to the MCU. But can't it be true that he's great and that there's an interesting story that could be told with him, and that he's definitely going to bring his magnetism to the screen, and that this also kind of reeks of going back to the well and that kind of desperation of, we've got to pivot away from Kang, we've got to figure out a way to kind of bring back the MCU to its former glory. Let's just cast Robert Downey Jr.
I mean, I get why people feel like there may be some desperation involved here. And let's be clear, it's not just, I mean, that's the big news. But almost as big of news is that along with Robert Downey Jr., we have the returning directors, the Russo brothers, coming into direct Avengers 5 and 6. So yeah, there is, mm-hmm. you know, this is the duo that brought us Infinity War and Endgame.
Yeah, and even Winter Soldier before those movies came out and proved to be great. Civil War, like, they're incredible. Their work in the MCU is the best. These are not just the consensus because it's what was agreed upon. It's almost objectively true that, like, these are the guys for the job. So I'm kind of torn between that of, like, of course this is the right decision, and even from a business strategy, it's the right decision. But somebody who doesn't love Doctor Doom, only because I don't have the comic book connection to him, is there a part of you that thought that, you know, maybe you portrayed, you saw Victor Von Doom as somebody else, and now that they're using Robert Downey Jr., it kind of undermines his ability to be that character?
My only real reservation here is that Doctor Doom's chief enmity is with the Fantastic Four in general and with Reed Richards in particular.
Okay.
And the fact that he ostensibly is not showing up in a Fantastic Four movie, that disturbs me a little bit. Now, we don't know, because there will be a Fantastic Four movie coming out before those two Avengers movies that he's been announced for. We don't know whether he's going to show up in that Fantastic Four movie. He might well.
Yeah.
I don't expect him to be the main villain of it, but I'm also okay with that because, let's be honest, we've had three previous Fantastic Four movies of varying quality, and he has been the main villain of all three of them.
Yeah, yeah. So, and this gives them the opportunity to do the thing that they've been critiqued for, and that's not building to a villain. So if he does pop up Thanos style in the post-credit scene of the Fantastic Four movie, that's been proven to work before. Yeah.
And, you know, there's also the fact that we are building to, we know the titles now of Avengers 5 and 6. Avengers 6, we've known for a while, is Secret Wars.
Uh-huh.
Doctor Doom, in both versions of the comic story, is the center of that story.
Okay.
So having Doctor Doom for Secret Wars makes a whole lot of sense, way more than Kang did. And yeah, this is in part because of everything that happened with Jonathan Majors and having to write King out and to kind of course correct from that. Putting aside whatever mistakes they might have made with the character on the screen, we had the off-camera stuff with Jonathan Majors and his criminal conviction, and he needed to go. At least Disney decided he needed to go. Whether you believe he needed to go or not, that's up to you. But Disney, who controls the purse strings here, decided he needed to go. So, yeah, they had to course correct there. And we do know that the Avengers 5 at one point was called, the Kang Dynasty?
Uh-huh.
And it's now Doomsday. So,
in a way, it's almost serendipitous because Doomsday just sounds way more rad of a title, if you ask me. And bringing in Dr. Doom as the villain instead of Kang, while I said I'm not super familiar with Doom, I feel like he has more cachet with the casuals than Kang ever did. So, like, you see the Doom mask, you know who it is. I feel like that in itself, like, that's, I feel like it has to be a good thing because it is just more universally, like, known as Marvel.
So let me give you a quick TLDR on Doctor Doom, since you say you're not that familiar with him. If Doctor Doom is played properly, Doctor Doom is Reed Richards, Tony Stark, and Stephen Strange, all wrapped up in one person. And he is if not completely evil, at least very self-centered and very,
motives in the beginning.
And even more egotistical than the three of them combined could be. And he's the ruler of a country. So he has, you know, the whole diplomatic immunity sovereignty thing going on. So
let's go down the rabbit hole. Oh, please. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So, yeah, I mean, he is, you know, he's got a lot going for him. He's got the science and technology skills, and he's got the sorcery skills.
Interesting. I didn't know the magic part of that.
And he's got the suit of armor, and he's kind of like a master of everything. He is an intellectual rival to Reed Richards. You know, he's frankly badass.
Is he a in this scenario that we're running where Robert Downey Jr. plays him, is he a variant of Tony Stark, or is this another, like, is this a casting stunt where he's going to come in like Don Cheadle did in Iron Man 2, and we're just not going to acknowledge that he's the same guy? What is your ideal scenario?
Well, I mean, that's the biggest question mark, right? We don't know how they're going to play that, and we won't know for a while, I'm sure. My feeling is they don't hire RDJ and not go for the emotional impact.
Oh, yeah, it's got to be a Tony variant. What I heard that I liked, and this is not my theory, I'm sure it's being bandied about, and that is that this is Tony had he not had the same experience in the cave and had that kind of awakening and did decide to, you know, continue as an arms dealer. And when he created the Ultron bots, like, they are going to kind of become the Doom bots, and it's almost like a mirror image of the Tony that we know.
I mean, it could be. That's entirely possible. The other thing that's a big thing about Dr. Doom, though, is you don't typically see his face. Dr. Doom puts himself under this mask because he has a scarred face. And he doesn't want anybody to see his face.
It's like,
again, I don't see them hiring RDJ and just hiding him behind a mask.
Right. Agreed.
So, and there are varying stories and varying degrees on how much he's scarred and how much of it has to do with his vanity. So, you know, there are a couple of different ways they can play this. I kind of feel like there's a good chance that Doomsday is going to be Doom's movie in the same way that Infinity War was Thanos' movie.
Sure.
Where Thanos was almost the protagonist of Infinity War. It was about the Infinity War was about his quest to get all the stones and what happens when he does.
Yeah.
I feel like they can make Doomsday almost a de facto Doctor Doom movie. And have that lead.
That's
in.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, I kind of hope that's what they're going to do, because he is a character that deserves that kind of development. And I don't think you can get to that, even if it's just a cameo in the Fantastic Four movie, or even a full character in the Fantastic Four movie, which, you know, we'll talk a little bit more about that after we take a break here. We do have to take a break. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
I saw you standing on the corner. You thought you looked so big and fine. Little did you know, I didn't have you on my mind.
Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We've got Jeremy Branch with us on the line from the Pop Culture Knowledge Channel on YouTube, and we're catching up on some of the news that came out of San Diego Comic-Con last weekend. We talked quite a bit about the biggest news of all, that being Robert Downey Jr. returning to the Marvel Cinematic Universe as Doctor Doom. And, you know, I kind of mentioned, Jeremy, that, you know, Doctor Doom is first and foremost, well, he's an overarching Marvel villain without a doubt, but he's first and foremost a Fantastic Four villain. And you had asked if I had, before this news, some other kind of concept of who might be Dr. Doom. And it comes into some casting news that we had before San Diego about this upcoming Fantastic Four movie, which we now know is not just called Fantastic Four. It's called Fantastic Four First Steps.
Okay.
We know for sure now that this movie is set in a different world than the main Marvel Cinematic Universe, Earth 616. And it's set in kind of a retro future of 60s, which is awesome. I think that's a great idea for a Fantastic Four movie. Fantastic Four were originally created in the 60s, and it was very much about futurism and about, you know, the cutting edge of science and the space program and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I think that makes a lot of sense. I love the cast that we have for this movie, with Pedro Pascal as Reed Richards and Vanessa Kirby as Sue Storm, and Eben Moss Bachrach as Ben Grimm, and why has Eddie Munson's
Joseph
name just
Quinn.
Joseph Quinn, thank you, as the Human Torch. With all of that, we had a couple of other pieces of casting. We know about the Silver Surfer. We know about Galactus. But there were a couple of other actors that were announced to be in this movie, and their roles have not been announced.
Okay.
One of whom was John Malkovich.
Mm.
And my thinking was, okay, if they play Dr. Doom like in the comics where you never see his face, and it's basically a voice role with a, you know, maybe a mocap or whatever, I could see Malkovich being the voice for Dr. Doom.
What a great voice.
I mean, I could absolutely see that. So it's clear now that's not where we're going here. So Malkovich is playing another character. The other rumor that had been flying around about Malkovich was him playing the Mole Man, which I could see that too. Kind of different characters, but I could see that voice working for Mole Man too.
Sure, yeah.
And then, the other actor's name has just flown out of my mind, but he's one of those actors that's in everything right now. It played Richard Jewell in the Richard Jewell movie.
Hauser.
Yes.
Walter Hauser.
Paul Walter Hauser. He's also been cast in this as well. We don't know what role he's playing either. So, but we do know now the movie is going to be called First Steps. We know for sure it's going to be set in the 60s. We know for sure we're getting Galactus in this movie, and we're getting a Galactus that will not be a cloud of smoke. Thank freaking Kirby and Lee that we're not getting a smoke monster Galactus like we got in Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Heard they actually showed a reveal of him at SDCC.
Yeah, we're getting the full-on giant purple hat Galactus that we deserve.
Big old goofy looking
the Galactus
thing.
We need and the Galactus we deserve. So very happy for that. We got a little bit of other news out of Comic-Con about the next upcoming Marvel movies. Of course, we got Captain America Brave New World, which we've seen the first trailer for has already been in theaters and everything. Got a little bit more news about that. We know for sure now that Giancarlo Esposito is playing Sidewinder, the leader of the Serpent Society, which someone who has two thumbs and looks like this guy said he was probably playing the leader of the Serpent Society a while back. So, let's make sure that
it's unbecoming to gloat, Julio.
Just want to make sure we note that for the record. I know there was a lot of, even a lot of like the big internet channels in the last like week or two leading up to Comic-Con were saying, oh, he's playing G.W. Bridge. And there's a character named G.W. Bridge. And yes, that stands for George Washington Bridge. There's heavy spoilers and Screen Crush and some of the others were saying, oh, he's going to be G.W. Bridge. He's going to be G.W. Bridge. Nope. He's Sidewinder. I didn't know for sure which member of the Serpent Society he was going to play because there's been a bunch of different ones, but we knew the Serpent Society was involved in this movie. We knew that Diamondback was cast in this movie, who is a character who starts out as a villain and as a member of the Serpent Society. And then, in the comics, it's Steve Rogers, but she sees Steve Rogers and, you know, it's like, oh, no, I want some of that. And becomes Steve Rogers' love interest for a while. And got to keep in mind that in the comics, Peggy's not as big a thing as she is in the movies.
Right.
Yeah. So, Cap does have other girlfriends. But yeah, so that's interesting. I'm here for that. I'm curious to see how much this is going to tie into the Hulk world. There is some rumor that has not been confirmed, but kind of based on something that slipped out of Anthony Mackie's mouth, that maybe we're going to see Mark Ruffalo in this movie too.
That's cool.
Because,
that could be fun.
Because we know we're going to see the Red Hulk. He's in the trailers. We know that is Harrison Ford becomes the Red Hulk. He even did a Hulk out on the stage at San Diego. I'm excited for this movie, man. It does seem like, too, we have the announcement about another thing we've learned about this film is that we're finally going to follow up on, oh, hey, a big statue showed up out of the middle of the ocean in Eternals, and nobody said jack about it for 2 years.
Oh, we're addressing that.
Yeah, we're going to address that. That is going to be the source of adamantium in the Earth on Earth 616. So you know where that leads, kids.
Yeah.
Leads to a certain guy with claws on his coming out of his arms.
Interesting. I didn't realize they were going to pick back up that plot thread. I wonder when Shang-Chi is going to show back up now.
My guess is Shang-Chi is going to, and a lot of these other characters are going to show back up in Avengers 5 and 6.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
And possibly there's been rumors of them showing up in Brave New World that Sam is going to be recruiting a new Avengers team, and it's going to be made up of some of these characters that we've been introduced to in the last couple of phases, that we're going to see Shang-Chi and She-Hulk and Moon Knight and, you know, some of these other characters that you may or may not have watched on Disney Plus showing up on the big screen. I'm here for it. This is what I've wanted all along. You know, the Avengers are supposed to have lots of members, and the membership is supposed to change over time, and I'm absolutely here for it. And a lot of these characters that they have introduced in all of these various Disney Plus series have been Avengers.
Yeah, and have been good characters. Maybe the vehicles of the series weren't as, you know, perfect as they could have been, but I think inarguably most of those characters that were introduced did the characters, service them well. And so I'm excited to see them actually, like, come back into the fold and get reintroduced to us, and hopefully we have like goodwill towards them. Because Shang-Chi in particular, I thought was awesome.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that was one of the better movies of Phase 4, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely would like to see Simu Liu back as that character. So looking forward to that. We also got a little bit of news about Thunderbolts, which is officially titled Thunderbolts Asterisk.
Mm-hmm.
David Harbour having some fun showing up at the panel in full Red Guardian garb.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, and making a joke about, hey, I thought we'd all agreed we were coming in costume, and where he's the only one in costume. But the movie appears to be centering primarily on Yelena, which I think is a great move. Florence Pugh is just one of the greatest actresses of her generation, and she's would phenomenal. Watch her read the phone book. So I am absolutely here for her character being the centerpiece of this movie. There's still something going on about this movie that we don't know yet. And I'm kind of here for it. I've mentioned before that what a big surprise the Thunderbolts were in the comics when they were first introduced.
Mm-hmm.
And I just hope they have something that's not the same surprise, but that is equally as surprising in store for us in this movie. That's going to like turn us all on our heads and make us say, what?
Yeah. That'd be great.
I mean, kind of the same way Robert Downey Jr. being Dr. Doom did, you know, it's like, wait, they're doing what now?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you have any other thoughts about all this news that's come out?
I mean, you touched on a lot of it. The things that I am the most excited about is, because it's the closest, is Captain America Brave New World. I'm hoping that kind of returns us to the same kind of style as something like Captain America Winter Soldier. There are obviously more fantastical elements in this one, but that's just kind of the way that the world has grown and evolved since then, in particular in the MCU, canon and stuff like that. So, like, I really want to see one step and then the other. Yeah, also Thunderbolt sounds really exciting to me. Like, those two, I feel like, exist in the part of the MCU that I'm fascinated with. I know that people were a little mixed on Falcon and Winter Soldier, but I love Sam as Captain America. So to see this character kind of like, finally, because he's been around for a long time, him and Rhodey both, they've been around for a long time. So to see them like come into their own and to see Sam be able to carry a movie, I think is going to be super cool.
We got to take a break. Back with more in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
naked on the back of the chair. It's like a moment frozen forever there. Mom and Dad had a lot of big plans for their little man. So proud. Mama's gone crazy cause her baby's cut down by some teenage cop chase. War out of bounds. It was the wrong place, wrong time, wrong end of a gun. Son, shoot straight. Shoot.
News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We've got Jeremy Branch with us on the line from the Pop Culture Nihilist channel on YouTube, and we are catching up with news out of San Diego Comic-Con last weekend. And I know we've spent a whole lot of time talking about Marvel, and it doesn't leave us a whole lot of time to talk about anything else, but I wanted to make sure we got to some of the other news that came out of San Diego. And to me, and this may just be me, It may very well just be me, but I don't think it's just me because I've talked to some other people that are excited about it too. It's an esoteric change maybe to some people, but it just means the world to me. DC Comics has gone back to their iconic DC Bullet logo that was graced the face of their comics basically through my entire childhood. It was developed, I think, in the early 70s and was on all of their covers through to... gosh, well into the 90s. I don't remember when it exactly changed, but they've gone through a couple of different logos since then. And none of them has really stuck for more than a few years at a time. They're going back to that iconic logo. And if you don't know what I mean by the DC bullet, it kind of looks like the butt end of a bullet with the letters DC in the middle and then like four stars around the four corners of the circle. You'd know it if you see it. It's the most iconic logo DC's ever had in their long, long history of publishing. And they're not just going to it on the comics. That is the logo for DC across the board. So the new DC Studios that is going to be responsible for doing all of the DC movies and TV programs that come out from now on, it's DC Studios with that DC logo on it. And I mean, I just can't tell you how much it means to me on that. You know, at San Diego, when they made that announcement, like the next day, their entire booth was all converted over to the new logo.
Oh, that's cool.
The whole staff was wearing shirts with that logo and the whole nine yards. And it means a lot to me. I know it makes me seem like an old timer to get so excited about something like this, but I kind of don't care because it hits me in the heart, man.
Yeah, I get it. I did not grow up reading DC comic books. I was pretty Marvel and Image heavy in my catalog, but I do definitely see the appeal of it. And if what Gunn and team are trying to do is harken back to that kind of like golden age and remind people of the history of DC, this is a really clever marketing way of doing that. As has been said before, like DC has been publishing comics for a long time. Their characters are like still pantheon of all time most iconic and recognizable. Obviously, we talk about Batman, Wonder Woman, Superman, all of that kind of stuff. And to just say like, hey, there's a lot of history here, and people do have a sentimental connection to that logo, it seems like a smart move, and plus it's a really clean design. It is instantly recognizable, and it also does a good job of simply separating itself from the quote-unquote Snyderverse that people kind of associate with DC. So I think it's a smart business move, and I understand why people would have a sentimental attachment to the logo.
Yeah, logo was originally used on DC Comics from 1977 to 2005, so for nearly 30 years. And it was designed by Milton Glaser, who is a very well-known graphic designer. The other thing that he's probably best known for is the famous I Heart NY logo.
I've heard of that. That's awesome. I had no idea.
Yeah. So, you know, this is super iconic, guys. It means a lot. And we see this logo for the first time in a televisual project in that it's used at the very start of the new teaser trailer that was released for the Creature Commandos animated series, which is going to be the first new piece of the new DCU that James Gunn has written and is going to be coming out on Max later this year.
Yeah, we both got a chance to check out the trailer. I know you'd seen it beforehand, and I watched it before we went live or started recording, and it looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that it is the Suicide Squad just with monsters in it, but at the same time, like, that seems to be the best way to make that kind of storyline work.
Yeah, it's a little bit different way to play these characters, and there are some characters involved here like Dr. Phosphorus, who's a classic Batman villain, that haven't been used within this kind of purview before, but he looks monstrous, so I get it.
Yeah.
But the Creature Commandos originally in the comics fought in World War II. So, you know, and that's why you get the GI robot with his line about, it's been so long since I've sent Nazis back to hell. This just looks fun.
It does. And I like the art style as well.
If this is the tone we're going to have in the new DC universe, I'm completely here for it. Like I said, means a lot to me. I'm so excited to see what James Gunn is going to be doing on the DC universe. I have been very excited to follow the news that's been coming out of his Superman film that's currently in production. And he's already stated that as soon as he's done with this, he dives into Peacemaker season two, which
I can't wait for that.
Yeah. Which you and I we're both big fans of season one, and we've both been very, very much looking forward to season two of. So we're looking forward to that. What else has come out of San Diego that you've been excited about? Anything else in particular?
I actually really like the Penguin trailer. We've been getting little glimpses of it. This is a character that we obviously got introduced to in the Batman movie that Matt Reeves did, portrayed by Colin Farrell. Looks very much like a play on your classic kind of crime boss, gangster movie archetype done in the kind of noir style that Matt Reeves did so well in the Batman movies. And that performance as the Penguin is just so good. I mean, obviously the makeup and the effects make Colin Farrell look unrecognizable. That in itself is kind of just a gimmick when you consider how well his physical demeanor and his vocal patterns and all of that stuff, like, he's really embodied this kind of crime boss version of the character, and I love the Batman so much that I'm excited to kind of see that universe continue to grow and flourish. So I'm really looking forward to the Penguin.
Well, and we don't have long to wait on that because the first episode is going to be dropping on September 19th.
Yeah,
so I'm looking forward to that on HBO and on Max for streaming. Got a lot of Star Trek news out of Comic-Con as well. We got to see our first clip for Strange New World Season 3, which we're not too far away from. Loving that series. We got to see our first trailer for what's unfortunately going to be the final season of Star Trek Lower Decks. There's a lot of buzz that although this is the final season of Star Trek Lower Decks, that it may not be the end for these characters and that we may see something like a one-off movie, probably a streaming movie, not a theatrical film. Or things like that. I certainly hope that's the case because I think there's still a lot of potential left in that show. It is, bar none, my favorite Star Trek show right now, and I don't want it to end. But one of the driving forces behind that show is Tawny Newsome, who is the voice of Beckett Mariner, one of the lead characters of that show, and has become a big force behind the scenes in Star Trek II. She is going to be part of the writer's room for Star Trek Starfleet Academy. And then at Comic-Con, she announced that she and another co-creator are working on the first live-action comedy series set in the Star Trek universe.
That's exciting, especially as a fan of Lower Decks from what I've seen. So I'm imagining you're pretty excited about checking that out as well.
I am. The concept is interesting because it has to do with kind of for lack of a better term, a reality show being broadcast out of a Federation resort planet.
Oh, very interesting.
Yeah, which you could very much be like Love Island in the Star Trek universe. So, yeah. I mean, that sounds like fun. Yeah, I'm here for it. And
absolutely.
Then we had some news about Starfleet Academy. We've had a lot of big casting news out of this show already, and this is forthcoming. And for those who don't know, this is set farther in the future than any other Star Trek series we've seen so far. It is going to follow up on Star Trek Discovery being in the 32nd century of the Star Trek universe. So we know that Holly Hunter is going to be the headmistress of the school. We know that the great Paul Giamatti is going to be the overarching villain of the first season. And now we're getting some news that some Star Trek veterans are going to be a part of this series as well. We're going to see three actors that we've seen in Star Trek Discovery. And the one that's probably the least big surprise here is Mary Wiseman, who played Tilly on Star Trek Discovery. She had been already working at Starfleet Academy on the series, so it was a no-brainer that she was going to show up in this show. But we're also going to see Oded Fehr and Tig Notaro, who's absolutely great as Jet Reno on Star Trek Discovery, continuing their characters. And then perhaps the bigger surprise from Star Trek Voyager, Robert Picardo, returning as the emergency medical hologram. Which makes sense. That's a character that should have no reason to ever die. He is a computer program, basically.
Yeah.
We're going to see him in the 32nd century, so I'm excited about that. He's also showed up in this season of Star Trek Prodigy, which is on Netflix right now, which I haven't gotten a chance to watch yet. So that's going to be very interesting for sure. I'm a big Trek fan. We also got the news that the first official Doctor Who spinoff of the new Whoniverse has been... announced The War Between the Land and the Sea. We got some casting news on that. Always a lot of fun stuff to look forward to. We'll have a lot to be talking about in the months and years to come out of all of this news. But we got to go for today. We'll be back next week and get into Deadpool and Wolverine. Until then, you're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.